Testing, testing. Can I just ask for a minute, if you just speak to God by yourself and tell Him what you are grateful for from Him. You're talking about His goodness. Share it with Him. Share it with Him. It'll build you up. Oh, we thank You, Father. We thank You, Father. Oh, Father, I thank You for my family, Father. I thank You that my kids love You. Be ready. It's going to be some hard things that you've got to do, but you got to trust Him. You got to trust Him. Follow what He asks you to do. Oh, we love Him. We love You, Lord. Thank You. Thank You. Amen. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Thank You. That song just gets me every time. But it's really, God is just so faithful to us. You know, and you think about all the different questions that we've been asking today, you know, but God is always faithful. He will see us through. He does see us through. But we've got to stay the course with Him. Amen. All right. So last sermon tonight, and we're talking about a heart that loves. A heart that loves. Last night we spoke about cultivating a healthy heart, and one reason a healthy heart is essential is that our heart is where we love from, okay? Tonight we're going to look at a heart that loves, so let's get started by looking at a biblical definition of love. Love is the foundation of learning how to love others. Have you ever thought about that? How do I need to love this person? How do I need to love that person? Because people have different things. As Christians, if we don't first understand what love is, how in the world can we even begin to love anyone else or ourselves? The most concise definition that the Bible gives is God is love. God is love. And I hope every one of you in here, I hope you know how much God does love you. And He sees you. And He knows what you're going through. And you need to call out to Him and He will be there for you. 1 John 4, 7-10 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." So it's not you. It's what God put in you. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed this among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. And this is love. It's not that we loved God. It's that He loved us, and He sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And when you really do think about that, and you think, I try not to go back to my, you know, some naughty things maybe from the past, but when you think about that, that he would forgive us and forget about it forever. And right there, even if we're having troubles on this earth, we should always know he is with us, he believes in us, he's going to help us get through, and we can get through because of God. A Bible definition of love is that God loves each of us enough to send his son Jesus. John shows us that God's love flowing through us to others is a distinguishing feature of the new birth. The new birth. And think about this too. I promise that everybody in here could find one person that they knew that didn't know Jesus. Right? Can anybody in here not know a person that doesn't know Jesus? No, we all do. And that person that you even just maybe thought about needs to know Jesus, right? Ask yourself, what have I done about that? What have I done about that? 1 Timothy 1:5 says, "Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith." 1 Peter 1:22 says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." I just remember this. This isn't in my notes. I just remember this. When my mom was recently here, a couple of months ago, I guess. I can't remember when she was even here. But we went out to Nando's, and so it was Walker and myself and my mom. And we were sitting at a table, and there was this lady that was kind of along the back wall and kind of laying down a little bit on the seat. And every once in a while, she'd catch my eye, and I'd catch her eye, and I just thought, I need to talk to her. I don't know who she is, but there's something stirring up in me, and so we were still eating, and then we were standing up to leave, and she stood up to leave at the same time. She had a cart with her that she pushed by. And I said to Walker, "Walker, you go ahead and take Mom to the car. I feel I have to talk to this lady." And this lady came over to me and she said, "I feel like I'm supposed to talk to you. Is there something that you need?" And she said, "No, I've just been sitting there for this last 45 minutes, just seeing what a happy family you have. And y'all were talking. You weren't on your phones, but you were just talking to each other. And I could feel the love." She said that. She said that, not me. She said, "And I could just feel the love." And she said, "And I'm all messed up now. I'm just all messed up. And can I just talk to you for a minute?" So she was coming the same way. And so we talked for a couple of minutes. And then I just said, "You know what? I don't know if you go to church or not." And I said, "But if you would like to," I said, "I'm at Miracle Life Family Church. And I can book an appointment with you, so, because I'll have more time then. I got to get my mom home right now." So I think Teresa, she forgot the first time, right? She forgot. She forgot to come. Okay, so we booked it again. And so she comes in that time, and so we sat down. And really, she's actually a Christian. She goes to the Catholic Church now, but she is a Christian. And she just said, you know, that she had some troubles in her life, which kind of set her back. She says, "I still go to the church." She said, "But I just don't feel love. I don't feel," and not blaming the church, but it was just herself saying, "I'm not where I used to be. And I could just, your family, I just knew that maybe you could help me." And so we had such a wonderful talk that day, and she literally left with a smile on her face, and her saying, "You know what? It's time for me to go get others saved again. That's what I used to do. I haven't been doing it for a long time." Okay, don't blow off those you just know on the inside, you've got to go do this. And if God is prompting you to do it, do it. Even if you're scared. Okay? And it's not you, it's Him through you. So just be listening to Him. Amen? Okay. God wants us to love from a pure heart. And it is from a pure heart that we can live fervently. Jesus said that loving God and others is at the core of the Christian life. Many of us have discovered that the quality of our relationships determines the quality of our lives. And I know this is just for me. When I'm not in touch with the people that are there for me, for whatever reason, I guess my excuse is usually I don't have the time. Okay? I kind of think it's a truthful one, but really it's not. Because if I would take the time, everything would speed up now that I need to get done. Okay? So, we've discovered that our relationships determine the quality of our lives. It's not our bank account. It's not a CV. It's not a car. It's a position in life that we've got to truly understand our commitment to God Himself and to godly people. We've got to do both. We've got to do both. And so many people don't want to have friends because, well, what if they go out and tell everybody my story? Well, what if they do? You're still loved. You might not be loved by them, but you're loved by Him. We love, we're going to look into the word right now. We love because God loved us first. That's why we love. 1 John 4:19 said, we love because He first loved us. All food recipes don't just give you the ingredients and the quantities, but they tell you the sequence of what do you put in first and second and third, and then you go to the other bowl, right, and you do that. Not that I'm a great cook at all, okay, but I do know that. I can make cookies or something. Yeah, my husband is the cook. I love it. That's hard for them to take because it's just usually the women, right? Yeah. I love it, though. And then I do other things. But he won't let me mow the lawn, but I love doing that. I love that. He doesn't let me do it. We've got somebody else. All right, let's move on. If you do try to do this last step, then you're going to have a failed meal. So you've got to do things in order. You don't pick the rocks out of beans after you cook them. When do you put them in? Before, right? Okay, it has to happen first. For you to love others, something else has to happen first. And we kind of started that on yesterday night and then again today. But we've got to do things in sequence. We love Jesus because He first loved us. He didn't just love us, He died for us. He died for us. While we were still sinners, He died for us, and God went first. We can only love sincerely from the heart when we live as loved from God. I think some of the questions, again, that were asked, and please, we're not pushing anything down. I've felt the same way in my life. But if we can really understand, I was going to say perspective. It's not even a perspective. If you really understand what God did for you, literally dying on a cross, right? And you really know that, it just changes everything in your life. And you really don't matter what other people think because you've got love coming to you from God. And it just is bigger over anything else. But if you're still struggling with that, you need to have a deeper relationship with God. The NLT says, 1 John 4:16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him? Are you abiding in him? Or do you just show up to church sometimes? Are you doing devotions in the morning? Are y'all praying when you sit down with your family for dinner? When you need help, do you call him out and say, I need your help right now, God. I'm lost in Lusaka. This is me. Please tell me how to get the right way. Okay. That's why Cassandra has to drive me here, you know, right now. No, I can drive most of the places. Maybe a half. Yeah. Okay, let's look at the NLT. We know how much God loves us, and we put our trust in his love. Have you done that? Are you doing that? Many Christians find it challenging to trust God's love for them when circumstances are harmful or painful. And that's something I've never really understood. But even in the church, when something bad happens in homes, or maybe you sinned with something that you're very embarrassed about, instead of running to church, where you will be loved and we will help you through, people run away from church. Okay? Don't run away. That's a wonderful place to go and get the help that you need. And run to someone that you know that loves God. And even though you messed up, they're going to put their arms around you and they're going to love on you. And they're going to help you with going forward. So don't run away from stuff. Run to get the help that you need. Many people have come to the same conclusion that my daughter, when she was 3 years old, Jessica. So her brother, literally, she was three, he was five, and Timothy would go to sleep within seconds of his head hitting the pillow, literally. So from the day he started walking at 9 months, and then he would be waking up every morning at like 4:45 or 5. And then he'd come into the bedroom and say, and get us, we actually gave him a regular bed when he was 1 year old, because he could just do that. And so he comes running into our room to wake us up. And I finally said to Walker, I said, Walker, listen, we've got a video machine. This is video days. And so there was a Barney video. And so Tim, at 1 year old, 1 year and a month maybe, he could push it. He knew how to turn the TV on, dink, push it in, and go sit on the little bag? Not the couch. It was a little bean bag. Yeah, gave us 30 more minutes to sleep. It's great, just great. And really, at night, he would literally say, Mommy and Daddy, I'm ready to go to bed now. Come pray for me and kiss me. That's what he would do. Okay, Jessica, complete opposite. Okay, let me do Jessica for you. So her little mind would just keep, she'd go to bed. We'd call her the midnight warrior. Okay. And this is when she was 3 years old. So she would get in bed, and one night, Walker heard her like talking out loud or something. He went into her room and she was still awake. I think it was like 11 o'clock or something. And he prayed for her, and he prayed the Bible's promise that says he gives his beloved sweet sleep. Okay. So he prayed that over her. After 20 minutes, she yells out, Dad! Dad! So Walker goes in, and she looks up at him. She sat up, and she yelled at him with her arms crossed like this. She says, I'm still awake. I guess I'm not his beloved. You can see her doing that, right? Oh, my goodness. And it went on, I think, for like 2 or 3 hours we were awake. And she loves the Lord now so much. She does. She really does. Yeah. But she was always the midnight warrior. She just was. And this has nothing to do with anything either, but I'm going to just say this. My mom was like that too, and I was like that too. But I realized somewhere about 2 or 3 years ago, I was really close to my dad, and I was somewhat with my mom, but not really. And I figured it out. That when, because I couldn't sleep at night very well either, but my mom would always be on the couch around 11, 12, and 1. And she'd be lying on the couch watching the PTL Club. I don't know if that ever came here. But she would be lying there, and I would get in front of her and just watch until I fell asleep, and then I'd go to bed. And I thought, wow, I think that's why I still felt a little bit close to her, you know. But it was just, yeah. So I had the same problem as Jess did. There was another time we were packing up to move to Zambia, leaving from South Africa, and I was doing newsletters that we had to send out to our partners from living there, and I literally stayed awake for two nights to get it done, and Walker was up here in Zambia. And so Tim, again, still woke up at 5 in the morning. Now he's 10 years old, I think. And so he gets out of his bed, and he comes into the kitchen, and he passes me. He goes, "What are you doing up right now, Mom? This is my time of day. Why are you awake?" You know, so anyway, okay, let's move on. Okay, we all feel this way from time to time. I'm mad, I'm sad, I'm discouraged. And we assume something is untrue about God's love towards us. It is never, I mean, write this down, put it in big case, big. He will never, never let you down. Never. It's not him doing that. Maybe you have a perfect family. I don't. In the last 20 years, many of my family members have struggled. This is based on decisions that they made themselves. They made those decisions. And while it's sad, I never blame God for their struggles. Never. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Okay? And yes, sometimes people face hard times. I could even not use the word sometimes. I could say a lot of times we go through some things that we got to figure out, right? In 30 years of ministry, I've seen God doing amazing things. Amazing. But I can't say it was easy. Just because you get called into the ministry doesn't make it easy at all. We live in a fallen world. But God is good, and He has been good to me. And He has been good to you because He loves us. He believes in us. I don't base my belief on His goodness based on my circumstances. I base it on His character. Character. You know, some people can be really, really, really smart and can do a lot of great things. But if your character isn't good, I'm not going to hire that person. I'm not going to hire that person. And that's not on God. It's something you decided, right? Or people decide. God is good all the time. So sometimes people, they face hard times. Okay, I base this on His character as revealed in His words, and I've come to know and believe that God profoundly loves me. And it's so easy now when you do get, you can feel something rumbling up inside of you of something that just happened. And if you would just take a pause and turn a different direction and get your head out of that, and just say, God, I know You love me, and I know You're going to help me through what I need to do now. Okay? Just lay that down for a few minutes. Talk to God, and He's going to show you how to overcome. Okay? He's enjoying helping you to do that. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of this Bible teacher called Charles Capps. He's gone to heaven now. He tells this wonderful story about his grandson. Charles lived in a few houses down the street from the grandson, and they had a long-standing tradition. He had a police scanner that broadcast the radio chatter of emergency services. So whenever there was a fire in town, he would get his get his 6-year-old grandson and drive to the fire. I also lived next to a fireplace, and we would do that sometimes. My dad would take us to where it was in my tiny little town. So they would stand at the say in a at a stay at sorry y'all. They would stand at a safe distance and watch firemen put out the fire with water hoses. Good thing they had water. After a number of these trips, his little grandson had a realization. He said, "Grandpa, I figured out who started these fires. It's the guys in the red truck. Every time there's a fire, they're there." His grandfather clarified reality and told his grandson, no, they didn't start the fires. They came to put them out. Okay, what a great way to say that with God. But so many people, they think it's the firemen making all the trouble. No, he's putting things out. He's bringing us up. He's helping us to get through. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you. But you've also got to pause and you've got to listen. It's exactly what Amy said earlier today. You've got to have that time with him daily and all through the day. Right? And it doesn't have to, you don't have to say, "I'm going to talk to him at 6 a.m. and 4 p.m. No, it's just, if you're going to walk from your office to the bathroom, talk to God. But we need him in our life all day long. Or when I wake up at night and I go, "Why am I awake?" I talk to God. Sometimes I imagine being on an island with palm trees. That helps me sometimes too. but God, really, he can help us. He helps us with all these things. Many Christians have this type of theology about God. And God does not start fires, but he comes to us amid where his redeeming love helps us. So it's out of love that he's coming to us. All right? And I think even those firefighters, I don't think that they're doing that just for a job. There was something in their life that pushed them to do this and to save people's lives and people's home. It's almost, to me, it's almost like ministry, saving people. In Psalms 23:6, King David writes, "Surely your goodness and your unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. And I will live in the house of the Lord forever." Okay, but it starts with, "Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me." Do you believe that? The Bible says so. So we should believe that. Get that into our hearts. To know and believe God's love for you, you must intentionally put things before your eyes and in your heart. Only you can do that for yourself. And that starts with Bible verses, books, songs, and people also living loved. As we live loved, we can now love others. And this is really what I want to get to tonight is, you know, what we talked about, God loving us. But we need to love others. And the only way you can love others is the knowing that you are loved by God. Okay? It takes that before you could love others. So Matthew real quick. Freely you have received and freely give. Number two, we are to love others as God loves us. Matthew 5:44. We don't, can you put it up? Thanks. "But I say unto you, love your enemies." Love your enemies. "Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." How does that feel? So here's the thing again. if you know and you understand what Christ did for you and where God is with you, loving you right where you are right now, that same love we can give to others. Why would we not? Who are we to get loved by Him, but we're not going to love them? And we know Him. We must act lovingly. We need to bless others, do good, and pray for them. It's not like, it's not doing nothing. It's not walking away, ooh, I don't like that person, and you walk away. Don't do that. That's very hurtful. It is acting with love towards those who are evil towards you. There was a question earlier today that we didn't answer it, and I was even thinking about this part too. It's like, well, I'm not really sure what you're talking about or going on with, but if God's loving you, I hope you can love that person that you were talking about. And again, if you do need help, please come see us, for real. Okay? It doesn't mean that they will love you back or even change. They may walk away from you. You may have to accept a loss of relationship. The relationship you have with God should shape every relationship you have. Can I say that again? The relationship you have with God. I just lost my place in my head. Here, I got it. Should shape every relationship you have. Jesus strips us of defining love the way we see it. We don't get to love others as we see fit. We've got to look through the eyes of God, the heart of God. That's how we need to love others. Instead, He tells us to love everyone just as Jesus loved us. That means loving people when they don't deserve it and when they can't pay you back. Okay? Have you ever wondered how to love someone as God commands? Consider the circumstances of the person before you treat that person the way you would want to be treated if you were in their shoes. What if that was you? Maybe it's been you before. A part of loving like God is that God loves us because He is love. When I was putting this together and I read that, because He is love, and I'm thinking about myself, and I'm going, wow, He is love. I mean, the whole of Him is love, not just the, right? That's where He wants us to be. Full, just filled to the top with, I'm taller than y'all, see? I get more love, I guess. but we've just got to be full of love. But there's days that we don't feel love. We don't feel love for others. We're pouting about ourselves sometimes, right? But we shouldn't even be doing that. We need to cry out for love towards us, starting with God, but calling our good friends as well. Okay, a part of loving like God is that He is love. It's His nature, and you were born again by God, who is love. Romans 5:5, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. If you know God loves you, if you know He loves you, then you're going to be loving well to others. It's that simple. If you know that you are loved. If you go back again in your upbringing, and if you felt like your, you know, whether aunt, uncle, dad, mom, and you didn't feel loved by them, you may not know how to love. You may not know how, and you might even, because I've heard these stories a lot, you might not even love your mom and dad because you don't know how to love your mom and dad. Okay? But don't carry on your life that way. Here's what I'm just going to say is, if you didn't feel loved growing up, I want you to think about, well, I'm gonna look on the bright side, and I'm gonna say to myself, I guess my parents didn't get love either. Okay? And give them the benefit of the doubt. And forgive them for not giving you the love that they were supposed to give you. Because maybe they just didn't know how. Okay? Now, if you do know how, and you didn't do that with your kids, please call them tonight. For real. Like, do that and tell them you're sorry. Because I know from Rhema how many people hurt in this area because they didn't feel loved. And as parents, yes, when they're growing up in our home, you know, we've got things that we need to do in our house. But the number one thing is that they know how much you love them and that you're for them. So make just whatever. If that goes to you, please do something about it. Okay, Proverbs 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. So who else do you think you should be near if the Lord is near? Who else? The whole family of God. The whole family of God. We love with an understanding of their pain and their distress. And we give them empathy. We get in the pit with others. You don't walk by someone, you know, like let's say here at church again, and I walk by a church staff that's got their hair, they're just looking down. I don't just walk by. I stop them and say, "You okay? You all right?" We love the family where we are. We love them enough to see if we can be of help. We love them enough to perk them up for the day. Or we also love them enough to say, "Wow, I'm sorry that happened too. And I understand today if you're not going to be able to finish this thing. It's okay. We can get on it tomorrow." Okay? We need to love one another. The heart should break because of God's love flowing through you. You must be for people because God is for you and for them. And in that moment, you're being the Jesus with skin on towards them. Okay? We take time for others. We could look at the interruptions that constantly happen to Jesus. We could do that too. There was a lot of interruptions with what Jesus was going to do. And he would stop and he would be kind and love on people. Because of the world's brokenness, you will never stop having opportunities to be near those who are crushed. We can just walk to the right there in Nambi, and there are hurting people all over. We can go into a grocery store, and there are hurting people all over. Another aspect of loving others, as God does, is helping people overcome their problems. At times, addressing problems, they are unaware of the necessity to fix the problems. They're not self-detecting the issue. Maybe they never learned how to do that. You may notice that someone has failed in business 5 times in a row, and they keep blaming others, the devil, and the economy. Love would say, "It seems like your current business skills are deficient again." Right? It's been 5 times. Maybe you should find work somewhere else where you're not losing money. Now, and if you can say this as well, you can say, "And you know what I notice in you? Anytime someone walks in the door or comes to see you, it's like you start a conversation with them, and you're asking them, you're so wanting to know much more about them, and then they tell you their problems, and then in the end, they leave happy. They didn't buy anything that you're selling there, but they left happy. My mom used to have shops, and everywhere we lived, she had a shop. And she really wasn't doing it for money. But in the middle of the store, she even had a dress store. She made me wear dresses for a little while. she had two chairs in the middle of the place, and really what she did all day was counsel women that came in, and they did buy some things, but that's really what she was doing, was that. Okay, so help others, help them get out of their rut, pick them up, love them enough to do that. Maybe you must work for someone else instead of losing money all over these years. Luke 6, 32 to 36. If you love only those who love you, think about that. If you love those who only love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? I don't remember who said this earlier today, or maybe it was you, Cassandre. It's like even the funeral houses. Are you going there to really be sitting and grieving with everybody? Or are you going there because when you die, you want them to come to your place? Right? But it's real. And we've got to look into things like that. That's not a reason. Maybe Amy, it was you that said that. It was you that said that. Don't do something so that you can get something back. Okay? It might even be culture, but it's not a good culture to be doing though, that way. Okay? Go because you want to be by the family side and love on them and let them know how much you're going to miss this person. But not to get something back for yourself. I wish y'all would do the flip and you take the food to the family instead of the family that is grieving having to cook. Yeah. Could start it at this church, I guess, right? Yeah. Yeah. I just don't understand that, but that's okay. Let me move on. I should not get into this. Okay, let's go to verse 35 here. Love your enemies. Love them. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High, for He is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. Jesus tells us to love in the same way that our Heavenly Father loves us. And let me just explain what this means. We don't love people to get something from them. Our love is not transactional nor an investment in a future. We're loving in one direction. That's what we're doing. And helping someone that day. It's not about us, it's about them. An unbeliever recently told me that the only reason that they attended the funeral homes is that they could get support for their families in later life. Okay? So we've got to stop. Okay, number three. Speak the truth in love. The first part is speak the truth, right? So we need to be speaking truth, not telling everybody else, but going to the person. But then we also need to do it in love. It is because of love that we speak the truth. If you know that you're supposed to help that person with something that they don't know, then you need to follow this because, again, it's in the Bible. And don't be afraid if they don't like you anymore. Right? Because you're there because you love them. Let me just do the simple one, and I'll do this in class too. But if you saw me with my zipper down right now, I hope somebody would tell me that before I get on the stage. Right? But people, they don't do that. And so everybody sees it. So I even go tell men, because I see it all the time, and I don't mean to, but it's in my face. So I just, and they all say thankful, thank you. One day when I was teaching at Rhema, I had mustard on my face, and I didn't know it. And only when 2 hours later, 2 hours later, no one in the class told me I had mustard on my face. Yeah, I think I was eating a sandwich on the way there or something. But we got to ask that, why wouldn't we love someone? I didn't get embarrassed either, though. I didn't. But still, it's like, love would tell somebody. It would, right? Okay. I'm getting off on things, sorry. Okay. Okay, let's go down. Okay, here's three examples. These are true stories. When I was in grade six, there was a girl she was sitting in the desk in front of me, and I was sitting right here, and I could tell that she was bleeding from the backside. It's not from the backside, but she was bleeding. And she's in sixth grade. And I was like, and I knew all about that, but I wasn't there yet. So I tapped her on the back, and she turned her head around. And then I had a sweater with me, and I handed it up to her. I mean, I kind of whispered to her, and I handed her that up to her so that she could leave without getting the whole class riled up. And I was in sixth grade, and I did that. Because I had whatever. Another one was, there was this boy, this was not me, but there was this boy who had wet his pants in the little school, and this girl, this is a true story, she stood up and went and picked up the fish with the water in it for some reason, and she went by him and she accidentally, like, dropped it, like, on him, so that no one would know that he wet his pants. Okay? And that's a little kid there. Then there was a girl. I have told y'all this one before. Some people, anyway. There was this girl I went to Oral Roberts University, and I was a freshman, and this girl was, I was going to class and walking really fast and jogging a little bit, and I see this lady way up ahead of me. And she's got her backpack on, and we had to wear dresses there too. Today, they don't have to do that. So she had her dress, and so she's probably from me to you, right down there. So her dress was up under her backpack. Okay? And can see her panties. And girls, boys, all of us, we're all going. No one stopped to tell her. No one. Why would you not? But that's kind of how life is a lot. That we're not helping people where they need help, and they don't even know they need the help until we help them. So we need to get better at that. Let me even, no, I don't need to say the next one. That's fine. Okay, Galatians 6:1. It was about me. I'll move on. This is about Galatians. This is about doing good to all. See, you don't have to know someone to go talk to them. That's what we're talking about too. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Sometimes they know that they're wrong, or other times they need help to see it. Sometimes people really don't know that they did something wrong. Okay? Don't do all the other versions of ignoring or gossiping or ganging up on or feeling better about yourself as the Pharisee. But rather, go talk to them in love to be of help to them. Whom the Father loves, He corrects. Whom the Father loves, He corrects. Hebrews 12:6 says, "For the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes each one He accepts as His child." growing up comes easier when we start understanding where we're not. Does that make sense? We can grow up faster if we would know what we don't know, but we need to know. And there's not enough people around helping others that way. There's not enough. And so we need to be cognizant of that so that people can grow and grow into maturity like God has created them to be. Hebrews 12:6 says, "For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child." You're not God, but it is a display of love to help people overcome faults and immaturity. I know when I first came to Zambia, I really didn't understand the nation. We had been in South Africa and the U.S. And so any time I would say something to someone of, I wish I would have written something down here. But if I would say something to them of, "Hey, do you mind doing this paragraph over again because it's full of typos or spelling or whatever?" Can you think of something, Mafia, I've ever said to you? Because I really do. I speak my mind not from a bad place. It's because I care. I really care, and I want it. You can't. I know I've done something. I know. A lot. Right. She just said I've done it to her a lot. But my heart is, I know she can do this, and so let me sit with her. Let's talk it over again, and let's see how it goes. Right. And my whole point here is, if we're not going to be bold enough to love others, so again, God loves me. God corrects me. Okay. I need to have it in me to love others as God loves me. And there are so many people that had come on staff in the early years, and a lot of young people. None of them had ever even had a job. We had to teach them about a job, right? I loved doing that. Now, it should have all happened in the home. Being on time should be in the home, not when you're starting work, right? But there was all these things. But we've got to change that. We've got to change that within us. And when somebody does come tell you that you've got something on your face, put a big smile on and say, "Thank you for telling me that," instead of, "Why would you tell me that?" Well, you're going to walk around with it all day long. Right? So say thank you instead of the other way, right? Okay. I'm getting off again. I'm sorry. All right. Illustration. I've told our staff for years that they get to do that to me too. If they see something with me, they get to tell me. And I love it when they do. I love it. You know why? Because I need to grow. I need to grow. Just because we're older or younger or have a different position, it doesn't change that we should be able to help each other because we love each other. When we embrace God's plan, it is better for everyone. We need to be honest with our motives. Sometimes we avoid speaking the truth because we fear the person's responses. Well, don't fear their responses. That's on them, not on you. Perhaps they will get mad or speak ill of us towards others. If we aren't honest with them, we aren't being truthful. That's really the bottom line of this. If you're not going to be honest with them, you're not being truthful. And we're supposed to be truthful. Love is always thinking about what is best for the other. I feel like God is helping me to speak the truth more carefully. I think that's been added to me. I'm trying to do it more carefully and kind and without judgment and harshness. It's not to be done that way. Even when you're disciplining your children, and even if you give them a spanking, We have to start out with why are we talking right now? And we're going to talk with them about it. Okay, and you know, because we've already said this, when you do that, you get a spanking. But mommy or daddy still loves you. And this is to remind you. It's to remind you not to do this again. And when you're finished with that, they believe that you love them. And they understand why you gave them the spanking. And it's not the spanking that rips your skin off either, right? Right? That's how you help bring them up. And we're talking about we should be loving others because of how much God loves us. What do you do when God gives you correction? Do you say thank you? Do you say that hurts, but thank you? That's probably what I say more. That hurt, but yeah, you're right. Thanks. And then I go tell someone else what he told me too. I do that too. Okay? When we hear this message, we often think, I wish so-and-so were here or my relative needed to hear this. Well, they're not. Sorry. But God is dealing with you. I hope he is. I hope you're listening. Let me say it that way. I know he's dealing with you. Are you listening? Are you listening? Because I know this is a little bit hard. I do. It was for you. It wasn't for them. But you can implement. You can implement. And you can implement tonight. But God is dealing with you. So let's just pause for a minute. And what I want us to do, let me say this first. So we talked about God's love for us. We're talking about God's love for others today. I think for most people, this one's the harder one. And I think it's because God never messes up. But we as people living on this earth, we do mess up. And so there's more of that going on than, because he never does. But can we grow ourselves to get to a place that when things are called out, we're able to say, I am so glad that I know that now and I'm going to put change to it. And sometimes you might even ask the person, could you help me? Could you help me? I've done this my whole life, you know, but it's love that's coming your way. You're not being hit. You're being loved because someone's trying to help you. Amen? Okay. So let's just in the worship team, come on up. But why don't you just close your eyes and just for maybe 2 or 3 minutes, just talk to God about you. No one, nothing about anybody else. This is just you. It's you and God. And what I want you to talk to him about is, I would talk to him firstly just to say, thank you for loving me, God. Thank you for loving me, God. But this thing with people on the earth, them calling me out, them talking to me about trying to help me do that better. Help me respond better to that, knowing that you are loved by that person. Okay? And I know it's not everyone that's going to be a Christian telling you this stuff, but the people in here understand. So just talk to him about that, and what are you going to be doing about that?